Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. I invite you to stand, and we'll start our service off with a song that is probably as much as any. This would be kind of our theme song. If you've driven along the highway, you're already going to know most of the words. Let me teach you the chorus. Well, first, let's get a few business matters together. Now, we've got a drummer who's away at a conference, and we've got some other musicians who were at a high school senior prom, so it's a bit of a smaller team today, which means you need to play the role of the percussion section, okay? Here's how the chorus goes. Let's try it together. It goes, love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like Jesus. Sing it with me. Love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like Jesus. Love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like you. Oh, love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like you. Okay, I think you got it. But some of you have already given up on this. All right. We're gonna keep this going. One, two, three, here we go. You gave, sing it with me.
You gave your life, you took our debt, you loved us with your final breath, you paid our price, replaced our shame, you are love that can't be tamed. Broken lives can find your love again. Yeah, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Break our hearts for what breaks
your kingdom is why we're living for. Help us love, yeah, love, yeah, love like Jesus. Love, yeah, love like you. Help us love, yeah, love, yeah. Love like Jesus. To the homeless, to the wounded and the addicted, to everyone, love like Jesus. Oh, help us love, yeah, love, yeah, love like Jesus. Love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like you. Help us love, yeah, love, love, yeah, love like Jesus.
Give yourselves a hand, all right? And let's just open our service up with a word of prayer together. Lord, thank you that you are in our, you're with us. You're here in our midst. Lord, help our hearts to be tuned to you today. We want to hear from you, Jesus. We want to experience your love. We want to share your love. And we thank you, God, that your love is abundant and great and life-changing. So we commit this time, we commit this worship service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Now, Now, if we haven't met yet, my name is Andrew. I'm the senior pastor here. And you chose a really, really great day to come to church. Because if there's, one of the ways that our church lives out its Love Like Jesus mission is by highlighting and partnering with other area organizations. I mean, we are one tiny little part of the kingdom of God, but there's all these beautiful expressions of faith. And so today is what we call a missions fair. And so you're going to be hearing a little bit from three different organizations that we just want you to know a bit more about and maybe be even prayerfully considering how God might be calling you to volunteer with them. So the first one is called Real Options or Life Choices, and as Ingrid is coming up from Life Choices, we want to show you a video that gives you a bit of an overview of what they do and why it's so important. Let's show that video.
Created for purpose, a unique genetic blueprint from the moment of conception. DNA woven together to determine gender, eye color, hair color, fearfully and wonderfully made. Valued beyond measure. Our culture says life is disposable. Her rights matter most. It's not really a baby. And it's all one big choice. But God created us in His own image and whispered, "I have called you by name. You are mine." In the United States, abortion is legal throughout the entire pregnancy, totally unrestricted. Most recently, abortion has been boxed up in the form of two little pills and a promise to make it all go away. What will you do to make a difference for life? How can you be a voice? Will you help save a life? There are over 2,700 pregnancy centers in the United States, serving men and women free of charge and full of hope, providing pregnancy tests, life-affirming counsel, abortion recovery, classes, clothing, and diapers. Many centers offer the first glimpse of a woman's baby in the womb, displaying the magnificence of creation and the precious beats of a tiny heart, perfectly formed and fashioned by the one who created them. They serve faithfully, love well, encourage. They are hope dealers. They need volunteers, your prayers, and your financial support. Will you please give generously and help make a difference for life today?
Half the congregation is already crying.
I cry when I see that as well.
But that tells us why. So tell us in your own words, what does Real Options Life Choices, what do you do?
Yeah, Real Options, our main goal. So just to clarify, Life Choices is the ministry that does the fundraising, that looks for donors, people to support what happens in the Real Options Clinic. That's where we meet women. That's where we serve them. And so Life Choices is the fundraising arm with people like you, our donors, and Real Options is the clinic side where we serve women. And one of them, let me just give you a little background. Each month in our valley, there are 300 to 400 internet searches for abortions, which is a staggering statistic. And a woman who finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy, we have about a two-week window to reach that woman before she decides what to do. So obviously we have a lot of work to do to reach her, and that's one of the ways that you can partner with us. There are two things that I would just ask you to prayerfully consider today. One is to take home a baby bottle. We do this fundraiser every year. People do it individually. Churches do it at various times throughout the year. And Covenant Grove is doing it, kicking off today, running it through the end of May. So pick up a baby bottle, fill it with change, dollar bills, checks. Ask your coworkers, your neighbors to partner with you. Another way is by being a warrior for life. These are special donors who commit monthly to support our ministry with a gift. It could be as little as $5 to whatever you would want to give on a monthly basis. And that helps us to know how much income we're having to better plan. If you would like more information on a weekly basis about what we're doing in the clinic, you can sign up for our weekly e-blast. Our director writes a newsletter just to give people, it's a short little email, just what's happening in the clinic, what's happening in our valley, a lot of exciting things that I won't talk about today, but feel free to visit our booth in the back, and we just appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and thank you for partnering with us.
Thanks so much, Ingrid. Yeah, we are glad to be. Guys, give her a hand. And so as Christy and Joe are coming on up, just a word about the baby bottles. We typically do that every year around Mother's Day, because one of the things that just so connects with the heartbeat of Columbia Grove is this is a ministry that supports moms at the time they need it most. Speaking of supporting moms, come on up. Now, Christy is with Grace House, and Grace House has been a long-term ministry partner. Among other things, I think it was about 6 years ago, the playground at Grace House.
Nice.
We got to build that.
Nice.
That was pretty fun, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, so Christy, tell us a bit in your own words, what does Grace House do, and then how can we help? How can we be a part of it?
Well, Grace House is a transitional home for women and children. The ladies come in from all walks of life, and we love them like Jesus. We help them find housing after that, and we also serve. We believe growing in the Lord is part of serving, so we serve down at the Lighthouse. We have free food markets twice a week, and the ladies are all involved. We cook dinner every other Saturday, cook and clean and serve.
Well, the other question is, how can we get involved? Like, okay. How can we partner with this cool work that's happening at Grace House?
You can financially support. We need sponsorships for the newer ladies that can't afford program fees. You can come volunteer. You could come chat with the ladies, cook a dinner. I could use some help with weed eating this summer.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of different ways. And so if you're interested in volunteering with Grace House, so make sure to talk to Christy.
Yeah. We're set up back there with Tevra, so
exactly.
Come talk to us.
Yeah. Because it can be such a rewarding thing to get involved with Grace House. It makes a huge difference. We've number of families in the church that have, that Grace House was part of their journey to freedom and a brand new life. So thank you for your work. Thank you for your work. Now, Grace House isn't the only really amazing ministry on the east side. Also, there's Powerhouse. And Joe, tell us a bit about Powerhouse, what Powerhouse does, and then I'll ask you about how we can help.
All right. So the Powerhouse, we offer laundry services and shower services for the homeless. Let's see, we have counseling. We're connected with most of the different agencies and ministries throughout the valley, like Catholic Charities and Serve Wenatchee, stuff like that. We offer food, a day resting area. We're open between 9 a.m. and 5, Monday through Thursday. Right now, we're hoping to be Monday through Friday.
Now, what holds you? Is that volunteers that hold you back from Monday through Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
So
right. So that key volunteer or two might be right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so our needs is we need volunteers when available, but we also offer food, so any donations of dry goods would be good. We do cup of noodles or chips, snacks, stuff like that. Financially, you can go to our website at powerhousewenatchee.com and I'll have the rest of the information back at the booth.
Perfect. But. Well, I hope that quite a number of folks will talk to Joe after the service, because you know if you've ever been like you see some homelessness in the valley and you think, okay, how can I really help? Like, what are things I can do that would really make a difference? Powerhouse is one of the key ways to do that, right on the front lines of caring for the homeless.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Can we give Joe a hand as well?
Thank you. Yes.
So, I encourage you to check out those ministries and just get involved in whatever way the Lord leads you. Now, I saw Heather also. There she is. She's camouflaged. It's harder to see her today. So Heather's going to come up and pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. Now, it looks like Children's Church is especially adventuresome today. What's going on, Heather?
Well, I brought a map because I was looking for adventures, but then I decided I don't really need a map. I don't really need my sleeping bag either, but, well, maybe we could. So I'm kind of looking for some adventurers out there. Are there any? Oh, there's one in the front row. Okay.
Oh, look back there.
Where?
I see him. Look back
there's,
there.
There's a bunch of them back there.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They look squirrely.
They do.
They do.
I don't know. I didn't bring any nuts.
Don't worry. There was plenty of nuts to go around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just look.
Like these guys?
Yeah. Would you pray for our kids?
I will.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, be with us today as we feed the squirrels. Possibly have some s'mores, maybe a campfire. Let the songs be joyful. Let the dancing be merry. And let you reach into our hearts and just learn to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So some of these folks, they just heard that there's going to be s'mores back there, and they're going to sneak in.
They might.
They might. That's all right. That's all right. But if you go back to Children's Church, you're going to be a volunteer, and that's good. So let's take the next few moments and greet a few people around you. Especially, you know, make sure to thank Ingrid and Christy and Joe. And we'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen for those who are joining us from, I saw Arizona, I saw Penticton. Anyways, people from all over the place joining in worship. And we're going to jump back into singing in a minute or two. But just take a moment. Let somebody around you know that you're glad to see them. Give them a fist bump. Give them a high five. Say hi. Say something. Let's start to regather as you find a place where we can seek the Lord together. As we prepare to sing this next song, just invite you to take one big, big breath. One more. Just as our bodies need oxygen, our spirits, our souls, in fact, every part of our being needs the Spirit of God, needs the wind of God, the pneuma of God. So this next song just invites the Holy Spirit to be present in our midst. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord together again. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close.
nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, just sing it out to him.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let's sing it out. Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence,
just in invites you, whether it's under your breath or with a whispered word. Just invite God to speak to you today. Or he's not just welcomed into our midst corporately, but you welcome him into your own heart individually, privately. Lord, thank you that you have something to say to me today. Lord, help me to hear it. Just take a moment with him. I invite you to have a seat as Ron Huff, he's part of our Outreach and Missions Committee. So his heart is all for mission. Can I come and just lead us in a time of prayer?
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see so many smiley faces this morning. If you would bow your head with me, and we will just bring our thoughts and prayers for others and our whole community to the Lord. Lord, the beauty of springtime, it's just so amazing. The new life emerging around us. We just thank you for so many blessings that we enjoy through your grace. Lord, we have world concerns as well as our own personal ones, and our government leaders, local, state, and national. We pray for peace and wisdom and good decisions being made in the best interest of all of us. Lord, help us be good stewards of this wonderful, beautiful planet that you've given us to live on. Care for those on the margins of society, Lord, the refugees, immigrants, hungry, persecuted, defenseless, poor, the homeless, and as we saw this morning, the unborn, Lord, and the elderly. We pray for the people of Ukraine. Guard innocent lives, Lord, and stop the invaders. Strengthen the people, guide the spiritual and political leaders of the countries. For the work of the Life Choices, Real Options, Grace House, and Powerhouse Ministries, Lord, use them to give life and hope, to point people to you, Lord. For our missionaries all over the world and the church leaders and evangelists, Lord, we pray for them, for their safety. The Covenant Church radio team at New Life Radio in Odessa, Ukraine, as they continue to broadcast Christian radio, Lord, protect them in their very dangerous environment, Lord. For the people of Poland that have opened up their arms and their homes as to care for the millions of refugees. For those who are hurting, Lord, lonely, sick, perhaps in a struggling marriage, struggling with addictions, looking for work or a place to live, those asking for your directions. And Lord, locally here for our hardworking orchardists that are affected by the late season snowfall, please protect the trees and the crops. For our specific needs within our congregation, Heather shared with me this morning a walking miracle of Caden Mill that took a fall, and he is just doing fine. So we pray for him and continue to watch over him, Lord. For Tony and Karen Jones and the family as they grieve the passing of Tony's mom, Jerry. For the Cooper family as they grieve the passing of Darren. For Nelia Santa Cruz as she recovers from surgery. For Barb McArdle and her family, praying for the loss of Tim. We pray for him. And for the many people who need your loving touch and grace in their lives. For the next couple of moments, we just silently or out loud express your own thoughts about any needs in your own life, Lord, to the Lord. Lord, we would ask you to please open our minds and our hearts to the message that Andrew is going to share with us. Bless him and give him the words that you have for each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ron. There is a man with a heart for service right there. In case you're ever wondering what one looks like, that's what that looks like. Who here has ever been in or has wanted to be in a serious relationship? Now, if you're sitting next to your spouse, I expect your hand to go up. Okay, just so you know, that's the right answer. You either have been in one, you're thinking about being in one, because if you're ever in a serious relationship, you'll have to go through this moment when you meet the parents. Or at very least, you meet, if the parents have already passed on, you meet the family. Who here remembers the first time they met the parents? Yeah. Most of us have a story around that one. Now, there's a little bit of disagreement in the Thompson household over this one. But see, I remember when Anita and I we just started dating. So she was 16, I was 18, and I was invited over to the Schweitzer house for dinner. Now, where the disagreement is whether or not this move was a deliberate test, or whether this was just convenient help that could not say no. To me, it felt like a test. I was coming over for dinner, and of course, I wanted to impress because I had a young lady in mind. I got her too, by the way. That's really good. 26 years of marriage later. But anyways, yay! Okay. But so I show up at the Schweitzer house, and I meet Arnold. And he says, "Well, you ready to butcher some chickens?" That's not what I had in mind. Of all the things I was thinking about with meeting the parents, that was not what I had in mind. I'd never done it before, and it was every bit as gross as you might have imagined. And I still like chicken dinner, but I look at chicken dinner in a very different way now. So I'm not gonna go into detail, but you can figure it out. And yes, it was a test. Now, in the years since, now we have two daughters, and so from, you know, as part of their teen years, so our oldest is now 22, our youngest is 18. There have been guys with eyes on my daughters as the prize. And so there have been guys that have been, you know, looking to make a good impression. Now, from a very, very young age, our girls learned this adage. It's put a little crassly, but see what you think. What does a cute guy look like? A cute guy looks like, do you remember? Some of you, a Bible and a job. That's right. A cute guy looks just like a Bible and a job. That's what it looks like. That's how you know a Bible and a job. Or if you really, really get down to it, it's does he have his own faith? Does he have his own plan for his life? Does he have his own ambition? And then the other, honestly, it's just the big three I'm watching for. How does he treat her? Is she just an accessory to his plan? Or does he really, truly value her? Now, those are the big three. There are two other kind of a little bit lesser ones I need to tell you about, just in full disclosure. The fourth one is how do they do with Uncle Eric? Now, some of you have met my younger brother, Eric. He's on the live stream right now, which means I know that he is watching this service probably through an iPad, and because I'm mentioning him, he is giggling and bopping up and down and probably passing gas. he is a force of nature. He's a special needs, and he is an incredible human being that I hope all of you will have a chance to meet sometime very soon. If you're fairly new to Columbia Grove, you probably haven't met him yet because there's been a pandemic. I don't know if you've heard about it, but he lives just on the other side of the Canadian border. But they're coming down soon, and you'll get to meet Hurricane Eric, I hope. But he's amazing. So I want to see how they respond to Hurricane Eric And then fourthly, this is not as important as the other four, is do they like, can they sit through the movie UHF with me? It's, if you've never, okay. Weird, do you know who knows who Weird Al Yankovic is? He made a movie. Yeah, it's every bit as bad as you might think, but it's a guilty pleasure for me. It's just ridiculous and stupid and fun, and if a guy is coming into the Thompson household, he's got to sit through UHF with me. That's how we do it. But the only reason I told you these stories, the chicken story or the interrogating guys coming into the Thompson household story, is we all know this, is if you're joining a family, there are expectations. There's a process. There's expectations. And now we're in a series that is taking a closer look at the local church. And we're going to be in a passage in Galatians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, whether paper Bibles or glow-in-the-dark phone Bibles, whatever it is, see if you can find Galatians chapter 3, because we're going to be looking at some significant passages there. This is one of the first letters, the epistles, probably written in the New Testament. And this is the place that a really important kind of metaphor for the local church gets introduced. This idea is the local church is like a family. And so one of the big questions that the early church was wrestling with, it was one of the first big controversies of the local church, is what's the admission requirements for this family? If you're going to be part of this family of faith, how do you get in? What's required? Now, the big cultural issue going on here is that, all of the first Christ followers, they were all Jewish. All of the disciples, the 12 were all Jewish because, of course, Jesus was Jewish and he was, you know, this, and this is all happening in Israel. But as the church spread, soon after Pentecost, soon after the resurrection, as this good news of Jesus is just radiating out from this initially Jewish group, there were other people groups that the Bible refers to as Gentiles, which simply means non-Jewish. So people from all sorts of different cultural backgrounds across the Roman Empire, they started to hear the message of Jesus, they started to respond to the message of Jesus, and they wanted to be a part of the movement of Jesus. And so the church had to figure out, so what do we require of the Gentiles for them to be part of the church? How Jewish do they need to become? Jesus was Jewish. We're all Jewish, which means we follow certain food laws. That means that little boys get circumcised. There's a number of things that marked what it means to be Jewish. Should they, the Gentiles, should they be expected to become more Jewish in order to become more Christian? And while we may not wrestle with exactly the same issues today, because most of us, probably 99.9% of us, you know, come from more of a Gentile background. You're not ethnically Jewish. Though if you are, welcome, and we're super glad you're here. But for most of us, we're not ethnically Jewish. And so this is an issue that while it does affect us in the local church, we don't usually wrestle with, you know, like, how Jewish do you need to be? We probably don't. Maybe you have. But we do wrestle with the question of, so what does it mean to really belong here? Is belonging, is it about just believing in Jesus? Or is it about believing in Jesus and? Is it just about your faith in Christ? Or is it you have your faith in Christ and here's the steps you need to follow and here's the things you need to do? So there was a lot at stake. There was a lot at stake. And so as we pick up this letter in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, who helped to start some of these churches in Galatia, this area, in a Greco-Roman territory, he's helping to answer some questions that will hopefully help the church to push back against the pressure that they are feeling to require the Gentiles to become more Jewish. And the answer he gives, the advice that he gives, helps us to understand the essence of what it means to be part of the church, of what it means to be part of this family of faith. So let's pick things up. Galatians chapter 3. Let's take a look at verses 3 through 9. And by the way, Paul, he is angry. He is deeply, deeply concerned about the direction of the church. So if you hear him like kind of a snarky tone, that's because it's there. Because he is very, very concerned. Okay. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law? Or by believing what you heard? Then he starts quoting scripture from Genesis. So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, even back in Genesis, when the law was given to Abraham, it was initially given by faith. Understand then, verse 7, that those who have faith, that's our key word, are the, what's the next word? Children. So it's faith that leads us to being children of Abraham, or you're in the line and the lineage of Abraham's faith. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance of Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. He's quoting Genesis 15. So those who rely on, what's the word? Faith, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So here's the big question. So how are you saved? Are we saved by faith, or are we saved by adhering to a particular list of requirements in order for us to be saved? So when you came to know Christ, if you have come to know Christ, did you come to know Christ by receiving what he did for you in his death on the cross and his rising again from the dead? Or did you receive it by finally getting your life together, finally learning how to clean up, finally learning how to act right, and then showing up in church, and then you realize God was impressed with you? It's the first, isn't it? We receive Christ through faith. We receive Christ not because we have our lives figured out, but because we realize we don't have our lives figured out. God, I am a mess. I have got a problem. Help me. And he does. And in Christ, in the most ultimate and extreme of ways, he did. We are saved by his grace through faith. Faith. It's not because of what we have done. Now, we might kind of understand that in terms of our moment of salvation. You know, I came to Christ because I was a mess, so I reached out to him. He met me there. He started to change my life. But here's what the Galatian church is struggling with, and I dare say we struggle with this too. So we are saved by faith, but somehow along the line, we tend to get it confused sometimes, thinking that then we're also going to be sanctified by something other than faith. You know, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I'll take it from here. And so we look to better our lives. We look to deepen our walk with the Lord. We look to advance discipleship or even kingdom work in the world by following a list of rules. Now, one of the ways you might have experienced this, I experienced this too. I struggle with grace in my life. I mean, I believe it to be true, but I have a very hard time sometimes really honestly believing that God loves me, he cares about me, he's there for me, and he wants to change my life, that he wants to do the work in my life. I feel a lot of pressure at times because I'm a perfectionist, because I'm a responsible person like a lot of you. I feel a lot of pressure to try to take care of it myself. And one of the ways you know this is by your internal conversations. Like, you know, what those little thoughts, you know what I'm talking about? Those little thoughts that kind of go through your mind throughout the day. The woulda, coulda, shouldas. The lists. Now, who here is a list maker? I'm a list maker. There's nothing wrong with making lists. But man, it feels good to check off that list, doesn't it? And if I'm not careful, I can be so focused on the list. Here's the things. Did I have my quiet time today? Yes, I did. Did I listen to the Lord in that quiet time? I don't know, but I had it. Did I read my Bible today? Yes, I did. What did you read? I can't remember, but I did. And we can turn our walk with the Lord, even these important, like, core disciplines of following Jesus, we can turn them into a list of rules and requirements. And so maybe in your mind, and this happens in my mind from time to time, you know, then you're, you know, the way that you're trying to encourage yourself along in your Christian walk is, Andrew, you are so disappointing. You can never get it right. Why did you even think that? You're such a screw-up. Is that the voice of the Holy Spirit? No. And yet, others, do you ever hear that voice in your head? And so you're beating yourself up for all the things you can't do or the things you didn't do right. That's one of the ways that we experience that form of legalism. As if you could just get all of the check boxes checked, if you could just have a zero error day, that you would be perfectly following Jesus. And that's just not true. The same Holy Spirit that saved you, that saved me, that met you when you were a mess and started to change your life, that same Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us, that wants to make us more like Jesus, that wants to change us from the inside out instead of from the outside in. From the inside out. So all of us have this tendency at points in our life to kind of fall into legalism, this rule-keeping, this list, personal list-making. If I could just get all the items checked on the list, then I'd be okay. And the truth is, you could get all the items checked on that list and you still wouldn't be okay, nor would I, because it's not the list that saves you. It's not the law that saves you. It's Jesus. Or we can get ourselves into the other place, you know, which it may not be legalism, but it is laziness. You think, well, Jesus loves me. Grace. He covers everything. So I'm just going to ignore him. I mean, you don't say that out loud, but we live like that. So, I mean, I'm good, right? You know, I went forward when I was 14. It was real. I felt it. It was a big deal. And now I'm good. And we don't make any space for the Lord's work in our life. Or we make minimal space. We embrace not so much grace, but cheap grace. Jesus has died for all my sins, so let's do more of it. Or I'll just do whatever I want. It's God's job to forgive me anyways. He just wants me to be happy, and this makes me happy. When the walk of following Christ is about abiding. It's about being available to the Holy Spirit. And so even those fundamental Christian disciplines, like being in the Word, which I hope you are, of taking time in prayer, which I hope you do, it's not so much about, oh, look, I got this box checked. It's about, I'm making space in my day. I'm making space in my heart to hear from God, to be with Jesus, to draw my strength and peace and hope from Christ. so we engage in those little, you know, those daily habits so that it hopefully starts to change the internal conversation from you screw up, or if you just get this task completed, you'll be okay, to Jesus, what are you doing in this situation? Lord, what is the wisest thing for me to do right now? Lord, how can I love well in this situation? How can I love like you right here in this family thing going on, or this thing happening in the office, or my frustration with being stuck in traffic? Like, what would it be? Jesus, what are you doing in me right now? Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're here. It's about abiding. The same Spirit that saved you is the same Spirit that wants to transform you and me and us. And so Paul starts to make the case that it's abiding in the Spirit. It's those who have received the Spirit of Christ and are being transformed by the Spirit of Christ. In a few weeks, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Stuff that because of the Spirit's work in you and in me and us, these attributes in our life start to increase. We become more joyful. We become more loving. We become more patient. We become more kind. And all the other things. Those attributes naturally develop in us because of our time with Christ. Not the list, but because of our time with Christ. And our experience of seeking the Spirit together is what makes us a church family. And that's where the latter half of chapter 3 goes. I want to take a look at verses 26 through 28. And I'd like us to actually read this out loud. I mean, if there's, especially verse 28, if there's a verse in Galatians to memorize, well, there's a couple of them. But this is one of them that I hope we might commit to heart. Because, you see, if we really believe this stuff, we really believe this Bible stuff, we really believe this Holy Spirit stuff, like God actually working in our life, this is a concept that will change how we see not only each other, but the world around us. Like, and you think of all the conflict in the world and all of the reconciliation that needs to happen and all the various divisions. This is a different way forward. Anyways, I love this passage. Okay, 26 through 28, let's read these out loud together. Say this with me. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 28 again. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit's work that unites us. And it's the Spirit's work that becomes our highest form of identity. That if we have faith in Christ, we are the children of who? All of us who have faith in Christ are the children of God. That becomes our highest identity. Now, that doesn't mean that our secondary identities don't matter anymore. It doesn't mean that our stories get erased. It doesn't mean that our backgrounds don't matter. It doesn't mean that we have different perspectives that need to be heard. Those things are all still true, but those stories, all of those multiple stories, merge into this greater central story. So regardless of your economic background, your cultural background, your racial background, you know, who you are as a woman, who you are as a man, all of those things, they matter, but our fundamental identity becomes, together, we are the children of God. We have an enormous amount in common, you see. My greatest need in my life is Christ. If you're being really honest, and I hope you can, your greatest need in your life is Christ. And that means we share the same greatest need. The greatest gift I have ever received in my life is the forgiveness and salvation I've received through who? Christ, through Christ Jesus. If you're being honest with yourself, and I hope you can be, the greatest gift you have ever received in your life is the forgiveness and salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That means we have both received the greatest gift. The greatest love I've ever received is through Jesus Christ. Now, there's all sorts of other great loves and wonderful loves in the world. That's why marriage exists and all these other wonderful things and friendships. But the greatest love that I've received in my life is from Jesus. And if you're honest, the greatest love that you've received in your life is from Jesus. That means we have the greatest love in our life in common. The one that at least I desire to love most in my life. Though I hope that I'm a good husband, I hope I'm a good dad, hope I'm a good friend, I hope I'm a good pastor, and you know, all those other things. But I hope more than anything else, I hope my life demonstrates my love for God. And you probably at your best moments as well. You know, if you're saying, what do I really want? What I really want my life to be about? I really want my last day to be my best day. I really want to one day hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Which means we also share the same greatest love in our world, in our lives, the same greatest desire. We have an awful lot in common. That's why the local church and the church global at its best can be a powerful, powerful force for reconciliation. Do you believe we live in a divided culture? I sure do. So whether that's the political divides of different ideologies, the different, you know, national divides, racial, cultural, this message of transformation through Christ by the Holy Spirit, it changes how we can even look at that issue. That my highest identity isn't who I am as an American or a Canadian. I'm a dual citizen. Go ahead and mock that all you need to. My highest identity is that, though that part of my identity, it matters. And I want to be a good and faithful American, good and faithful Canadian. Or my identity as a husband, my identity as a white guy, all those identities, they're part of who I am, but my highest identity, my highest calling, I am a child of God. And for all who follow Jesus everywhere, that becomes their highest identity. We have the most important thing in our life in common. That's the secret sauce of the local church. That we have this most important thing in life in common, regardless of all the other differences. And all of those differences, they matter, the stories, they all matter, but we have the most important thing in common. That's why the local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. The local church is a group of believers, oftentimes from every walk of life, from every economic background, from every racial background, from every national background, with different perspectives, different education levels, but all of them, all of us, following Jesus together. So over these next few weeks, as we journey through the book of Galatians, I hope you will dream about the local church with me. the local church. You know, because in this divided land, in this divided culture, in this post-Christian culture, where the people that you know, whether it's your family members, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they're understandably often really skeptical. We live in a post-truth world where we're told we can't believe anything at all. We live in a world where, you know, where at least the Christians that are doing self-serving, stupid things are put on TV the most. So it's understandable that the watching world, that your loved ones are skeptical. I truly believe, test me on this, push back on this. I don't need to be right. But I believe with all my heart that the way forward for the gospel, the way forward for Christianity, the way that the message of Jesus that has changed my life can be transmitted to the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, I'm convinced it is not about a better marketing plan or bigger or better technology or finding a bigger bullhorn or acting more and more like a special interest group. It's not about our whiz-bang shows. I believe that the way that the watching world will be convinced of the reality of Christ is they're going to see it in action in a local community. They're going to see a group of people who actually treat each other differently, who are actually committed to things like service, who are actually committed to things like grace, who actually embody forgiveness. They're going to see that and go, I haven't seen that before. That's really different, because it is. And their hearts will start to soften when we start to talk about the one who gave us that desire to serve, who enabled us to show grace to one another because we've experienced grace from him, and his name is Jesus. The local church is a messy place. It's a difficult thing. Hanging out with other Christians is hard sometimes, and I believe it is worth it. I hope you will dream about the local church with me. What kind of a local church do you long to be a part of? And please, let's build that together and dream about Columbia Grove with me, our tiny, our teensy tiny little part of the kingdom of God. That, or whatever tiny little part we are in the garden of God's work, that at least our little flower would bloom well. What kind of a church do you want to build? I love our commitment to service. I hope we'll continue that. I love our commitment to hard conversations. I hope we'll continue that. I love our commitment to compassion. I hope we'll continue that. I love our commitment to fun and not taking ourselves too seriously. I hope we will continue that. What kind of a local church do you want to build? Let's build it together. The local church is still God's plan A for impacting the world. People need to see the love of Christ embodied in a body of people. A weird, goofy family of faith. Let's build it together. Let's build it together. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you. That your love for us is not dependent on our track record. It's not dependent on our ability to check every item off the to-do list. It's not dependent on us having it all figured out or having all the right answers. Thank you that we are defined by your love for us that met us in our places of greatest need, that found us in our brokenness, in our pain, oftentimes in our active rebellion, and you met us there. Your spirit met us there. Your spirit met me there. Thank you for that. And thank you that that same saving spirit continues to work in our life as we trust you, as we abide in you, as we live in you. Lord, help us to see one another through eyes of grace. Help us to be kind to each other. Lord, help us to see how much we have in common. And Lord, we pray. We pray for those who don't know you yet. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a Christ follower right now and you've got people on your heart, and you long so much for them to see the reality of Jesus, you just take a moment and whisper a prayer. Whisper their name. Lord, may they see you. Lord, may they see how loving you are, how real you are. And Lord, may they see them not only in me, but Lord, may they see Jesus in us. Thank you that together we are the children of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invite us to stand as we respond in song. Let's start with the chorus.
Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear.
What are you?
'Cause I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.
Sing it out, church.
Though I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Well, I've been born again into your family. Your light flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. I'm no longer a slave to lists, 'cause I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear and all the other stuff too, 'cause I am a child of God. Sing it one more time. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Please have a seat. I invite you to take out your communion packets. And if for some reason you didn't receive a communion packet coming in and you would like one, you just put up your hand. We'll make sure. Actually, Bill's right back there. He's ready to get a communion packet to you if you want one. If you want one. You know, on that day when you met the family, if you've had that day, there's a pretty good chance you did something together over dinner. Because that's where the family gathers. I am so glad this is not chicken. Just wanted to say that publicly. Because if you're wondering whether or not you're in with this family, it's not about how well you did in your chicken butchering. It's not about what your GPA was, or what your net worth is. This family has only one. Only one requirement for entry. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, then he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you." And I'm going to add here, and if you believe that to be true, this is your table. And this is part of your family. And you're in. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We're reminded of what Jesus did for us. And as we believe what Jesus did for us, what Jesus did for you, that's what it means to be part of the family of faith. So what I'm going to invite us to do, I'm going to lead us in a really short prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to actually speak these words to somebody close by. You can know them, but you know, maybe you came with them, maybe you're married to them, maybe they're your child, that's fine. Or maybe it's somebody you don't know, and that's okay too. That's, in some ways, that might even be more powerful. But to look somebody in the eye and speak these words to them. This is Christ's body given for you, and this is Christ's blood shed for you. And you speak those words out loud as they eat the little cracker and as they drink the grape juice. As a reminder that Jesus gave his body for them, Jesus shed his blood for them. So Lord, help us to not forget what this means, what this family meal means. And thank you that we have been welcomed into your family through your gift, through your sacrifice. We believe in you, Jesus. Thank you even more that you believe in us. Lord, help us to serve one another well. Amen. So serve one another in Jesus' name. Stand and sing that chorus one more time. No longer a slave to fear.
I am a child of God.
Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I am a child of God.
So as a family of faith, let's pray out loud the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Paul.